It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans today, Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading with the 16th verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. That's 847-2717. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. ParkviewBibleChurch.org. Many studies there. I hope that you would enjoy those. And so please take a look at our website and hope that you can come to know the Lord Jesus and grow through the study, then through those studies continue to grow as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll prepare for the study today, and we're going to begin with reading at the 16th verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hope that was enough time now for you to enjoy the reading. And let's, as we always do, we begin with prayer. And so please that you will listen carefully as we lift this up to the Lord and begin this wonderful study. Father, thank you today that we can come and just enjoy this time together. I would ask that you would just touch every heart, touch my heart, touch every heart that's here with these precious words, that it will do to begin, first of all, to begin with, to bring us to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. Bring us to that opportunity of knowing that we're born again. As these verses tell us, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. When you're a child of God, you know you're a child of God because you've called up on him. You have come to him and asked him to save you. And please, today, Father, that you'll just touch every heart that's listening, that they will come to know you as their Savior. Call upon you. And Father, too many times we depend upon ourselves or works or a church or things like that. We need to depend upon you and then follow in a church that would help us to grow, yes. But first of all, we need that personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus. So please, Father, help us today. And then grow us, Father, as we do come to know you as our Savior, that we'll walk each and every day with you. And so please, just guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we need to realize and understand this personal relationship that we need with the Lord Jesus to become a child of God. And when we become a child of God, when we recognize that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us, and if we would recognize that our sin, and that's the very first step, our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. And when we recognize that, and that should just break our hearts. And then when we realize that we are the ones, we're responsible for nailing God to the cross, and his suffering and him dying there is all our doing because of our sin. And we personally nailed him to the cross because of our sin. We should win, and we should recognize that. And when we do, then is when we should fall upon our knees and call upon him for forgiveness and say, please, dear Lord, forgive me. And I trust in you, and I realize that my sin nailed you to the cross. But because you were willing to follow your Father's will and die on the cross for me, I can be saved just by coming and calling upon you and saying, yes, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my heart and save me. You see, the Spirit of God not only shows us our sin and how wicked we are and what we did to the Son of God, but also the Holy Spirit then brings us to the Son of God saying, he is alive. He, yes, died on the cross, but he rose again. And by that we have forgiveness of sins. Our sins are gone. And we also have eternal life. And so please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Trust in him and walk with him. And that is when then we understand these verses of Scripture here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It is not set upon a feeling, as we talked last time we were together. You know, a lot of times as you are your mother and father's child, there's sometimes you don't feel like their child. Maybe you're mad at them, or something's happened, or something's taken place, and that feeling just isn't there. It doesn't mean that you're not a child, their child. And it's the same thing with ourselves. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him, he saves us, and immediately the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. When that takes place, we are his forever, for eternity, no matter what. And we need to know that and understand that. It is not a feeling. And it's the same, you know, yes, we have, should have good feelings towards our parents and have love towards our parents. But even when that love isn't there, they're still our parents. They still birthed us, brought us into this life. And our Lord Jesus Christ has done the same. He has given us life because through him we are born again when you come by faith to Jesus. So please be saved. Come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and then enjoy the walk as that Spirit will lead you. And again, when you have taken care of that, you are a child of God, and you will know it. It's hard to explain. It's not a feeling, but you will know it, because your Spirit and God's Spirit together will join, and you will know that you're a child of God. Now, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, and if you question that, please, that you do recognize your sin nailed him to the cross. Your sin has condemned you to death. You need to take care of that sin, and the only way you can do that is to come by faith to Jesus. He is the only way. There is no other way, no other way. You'll hear somebody say, well, we're doing the same thing. We're just going two different directions. There is only one direction, only one. And that's not to be a member of this church. Yes, I would love to have you to be here and grow with you together, but that's not going to save you. What's going to save you is you coming by faith to Jesus Christ and trusting Him in Him as your Lord and Savior. So please do that today. And then you will know that you are a child of God. And don't let that old devil convince you otherwise, because Jesus has saved you, and He has saved you, and He keeps you. The 17th verse here, and if children, then heirs. And once again, I'm going to read verse 16 because it comes together. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, as we look at this scripture verse here, it says, if children, as the scripture says, then heirs. So if you are a child of God, if you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, if children, then heirs, then joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. We are sons of God, born into God's family through the miracle of salvation, the miracle of God's grace. We are heirs of God and Christ with, and Christ's joint co-heirs. Co-heirs. Now, think about this. Not joint heirs in the sense of we're going to divide the inheritance, but in the sense of entering into the whole inheritance together with Him. That's what we have. What a joy. What a promise. Again, not in the sense of dividing the inheritance, but in the sense of entering into the whole inheritance together with Him. If here, as we look at that verse of Scripture, if here is, again, if so be that we suffer with Him, the if is not conditional. Let's look at that. Back in that 17th verse. And if children, then heirs, heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together. If so be that we suffer. And again, it's not conditional. We are joint heirs with Christ. And because we are joint heirs, since we will suffer with Him, we will suffer if we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and stand with Him, confessing Him as our Lord and Savior. And we are seeing much of that today in this world that we live in. That if you confess Christ, you can be burned, you can be beheaded. All these things are part of suffering with Christ. Now, so far in this land that we live in, this beautiful country that we live in, that we love, has not had to suffer those things. But it may come. It may come because that old devil hates the love that this country has for Christ. Now, I'm afraid that many are leaving that and they're going to kind of a social gospel, and they probably will not be willing to stand for the Lord Jesus because they do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They just somewhat act like a Christian. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. And then understand that there will be a time that those trials and those tribulations and that suffering could come and will come. And if we do stand for Christ, there will be times of suffering. Because as His followers, because like Him, they live in opposition to the world that hates them. Understand that. The world hates us. We shouldn't desire that the world love us. We need to be an example. We need to show folks the love of Christ. But don't be surprised when the world doesn't accept it. Don't be surprised when the world hates it. Look at the Gospel of John, but 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading with the 11th verse, but down at verse 13 is the one that I want you to see. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." You see, we're back to that knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior changes your heart. Changes your heart. Now, we get back here to Cain and Abel. The reason Cain was furious with his brother Abel, because God had told Adam, some of this were told, some of it were not told, but they were to bring sacrifices, because you see, from the time of Genesis 3:15 is the very first presentation of the gospel. And from that time on, when God took the coats of skin, and I believe it was a lamb that he had slain, God had slain, and put upon Adam and Eve, they had to get rid of those fig leaves, because see, that's religion. That's, you're trying to work your way there. God said that's not going to make it. And wonderful that Adam and Eve accepted that gift of salvation, that picture that was there concerning the salvation of the coming of the Messiah. And I believe that Adam and Eve both understood that the Lord Jesus was going to come in some time, and some 4,000 years later, before the Messiah would come. And until then, they were making these pictures, these resemblances, as we do with the Lord's Supper. When the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering the cross. We're remembering where Jesus died for us. And how long are we supposed to do that? We're going to do that till he comes. Well, it was the same thing with these offerings. Those offerings didn't save them. It was by faith in the coming Messiah. But they were to do that to remind themselves that there needed to be an offering and a sacrifice that was made that would take care of their sin. And so they did that often. And Cain and Abel were told to bring this sacrifice, this offering for their sin. And when they did, we know Cain brought of the fruit of the field. And God didn't accept that. Well, why didn't he? Because it must be the shedding of blood. Cain knew that. But Cain was going to be religious instead of right with God. Abel brought the proper sacrifice. God accepted that. And because, again, remember, they were to do that until the Lord Jesus was crucified, as we do with the Lord's Supper. We do that in remembrance of him, what he has done. And so they were doing that, but the difference is it was before the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, all those offerings and sacrifices went away, because the ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross. And so when you think of it in that way, maybe it'll help you to understand why that there was a difference before the Old Testament, because Jesus had not shed his blood. And once the Lord Jesus had shed his blood on Calvary and had died and was buried and rose again, then it was finished. It was finished. It's over with. We don't need it anymore. Again, we have the Lord's Supper, which the juice and the bread resemble his body and his blood. So we need to remember what he has done for us, but that's how we do it. We don't do it by offering a sacrifice, because a sacrifice has been made. Before the cross, they were to do that. They were to bring those sacrifices. Once again, here in this 1 John chapter 3, what made Cain mad? Why was he mad? He didn't do what God told him to do. Well, maybe you're not doing what God's telling you to do. God's telling you to be born again. You say, no, I belong to this certain church, and it's good enough. They don't preach that. They don't talk about it, and I don't need to be this born again. Yes, you do. You need to recognize your sin nailed Jesus to the cross. And when you understand that you nailed God to the cross, that ought to just break your heart. The Creator of the world, the one that created the world, you nailed to the cross. I nailed him to the cross. Broke my heart. I come by faith to the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive me. And in repentance is not listing every sin I've ever committed. Repentance is to turn to him. And that's what you need to do. Cain refused to. Abel did. Abel knew there was a Messiah coming, and here's my offering to show the picture of he's coming. I know he's coming, and I'm going to do this until I die because he's coming, or till he comes, whichever would come first. And Cain chose to go by works. I believe he brought a very good offering, but that offering was not a blood sacrifice, a blood offering. And that is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, dying on the cross. He didn't do it. He decided to go the religious way. Now, please, I beg you that you don't go the religious way. I hope that you would come by faith to the Lord Jesus. When you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, understand, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The world's going to hate you because we're not of this world. What a wonderful promise that is. We are here. We're living in the flesh. But this is just a vapor, and there's going to be a glorious day that I'm going to meet Jesus face to face and live eternally with him. What a promise and what a hope. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and have that same promise and same hope. You know, Paul also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Hope you know your Bible, can find these books. If you don't, why work on it so that when I look something up, I don't have it written down. I look it up in my Bible. And so if I have time to do it, I believe you do too. And so please look to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. And sometimes we need to spend some time learning this precious word and acknowledge this sword that we have in our hands so that we can use it to his honor and glory, to bring people to the Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. And that was Paul. And Paul had suffered much conflict, and we'll touch on that in just a little bit. He suffered much. He was stoned to death, left for dead. He was put in prison. There was nothing that he didn't face for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason was because when he got saved, he left that religious bunch, and they didn't understand. They thought he'd went off the deep end, and in turn, he went from death to life. And that's what will happen to you the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus. And let's look at 2 Timothy. Paul had some more to say here. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's right there in the scripture. So when we live for Christ, expect to be persecuted. Now, again, so many in this country that we live in, a little kidding is the only thing that we seem to kind of face from time to time. I believe that that's going to get much worse the closer we come to the end time. So be prepared for that. You know, Some try to proclaim that once you become born again, all your worries go away, all your pains, all your sufferings, God will heal anything, all this. No, we still live in the flesh, and we live in the world. Those two combinations aren't very good. We can just wait, and that's what this scripture is telling us, what's going to happen in the future if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Suffering now, glory later. That's what we're talking about here in the 17th verse. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Suffer now, glorified later. I'll take that, and I hope you will too. I hope you'll join him and enjoy it each and every day. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now let's read that again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That promise that God has made us through his precious word, no matter what we have to face, Paul faced being beaten. The only one that we're really aware of, and there's been many people, missionaries, many preachers of the gospel around the world that have faced much persecution. So I'm sure there are some that would be equal with Paul. But here in the scripture, we know Paul and how he faced the ridicule. He faced beatings. He faced being stoned to death. He was left for dead. And yet, he can say, without question, without a doubt, that for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Just can't wait to see the glory and the excitement, the life that we're going to have with the Lord Jesus is going to be wonderful. Please look to the Lord Jesus and don't let a little persecution get you down. And again, I am sure there's many missionaries or many preachers around the world. And in today's time of being lit on fire, being stoned, being beheaded, how awful. And many of those are in the name of Christ because they will not deny that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what a day. And, you know, as we look at the martyrs that during the tribulation period, why, they kind of cry out from under the altar and they say, how long will you tarry? How long will you wait till you'll bring judgment down upon this world? Well, these that are beheaded now, I don't believe will be a part of that because I think those are ones that are just during the tribulation period. However, there is going to be a special place for those that had to face that in this life. And so we see what Paul said here. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What we're going to see and what we're going to know. And this word reckon here, for I reckon, is to compute, to calculate, to think out, to reason out, to think about how great it's going to be. And so when we see this, he says, for I reckon that the suffering, I have thought it out. I've looked at it. It's worth it. Reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, towards us. The scripture could be there, towards us. And we have, we're just about out of time. I've got one verse of scripture that I would like to read if I can get to it quickly enough, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. You know, when you're trying to find something quickly, you can't. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, and I'm not going to have time to read it. So we'll begin there next week. I apologize. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?